The talk that you will be listening to in a moment or two is a direct voice talk given by Brother Boniface. We have called it The Process of Evolution. Mickey, the guide to the circle, usually has a conversation with us at the beginning of these seances. And at the end of this conversation, he mentions, "You are not dead yet, so why worry?" It is with these words that Brother Boniface begins his talk.
"Always problems of life, ain't there? I feel sorry for you poor people on earth, I do really. What with one thing or the other, it must be an awful business trying to carry on and, you know, sort of be happy. The world's in such a shocking state, ain't it?"
"Can't wait to get there with you."
"Yeah, well, you've got to wait a little longer yet." "Never mind, cheer up."
"Oh, Richard, well,
they're not dead yet, and you're better off when you are, so why worry?"
"No, quite agree, Mickey. You make it all sound so lovely over there."
"Wonderful to be with you again, Mickey." "You are not dead yet, and you'll be better off when you are." What an extraordinary statement, and yet how very true, inasmuch that whatever life's problems, to most people, life is very sweet, very important, and one endeavours to get what one can from it in the way of happiness. But of course the tragedy is that the vast majority of people are endeavouring to get the wrong things, and even when they obtain those things, if they are so fortunate as they think, they invariably find that they're not quite what they anticipated, and in consequence often they get very disheartened and disinterested in the very things they most needed. You know, life is a conundrum to a great extent for the simple reason that people just haven't got right values. Of course the material aspect of life is important. You're not put into your world just for nothing. You're put there for a definite purpose, to learn, to gain experience, and to help to build a very necessary part of your personality and character, to form, as it were, your true self. But the vast majority of people go wrong. They seem to have the wrong aspects and idea of things, and their one main concern is material well-being. Now, I'm not going to suggest that material well-being isn't an important thing. It has its place, naturally. In a material world such as yours, you want happiness. But so many people are under the wrong impression as to what constitutes happiness. Happiness to one isn't necessarily the same happiness to another. But when we see into your world, and often we enter into the minds and the hearts of innumerable peoples, we see the tremendous variety. This in itself, of course, is to be expected. But so few people have a basic realization of what is essential, what is necessary to their happiness. So many people judge happiness on purely material lines. There's no such thing as real happiness if it's based purely, and as it so often is, on physical material things. Unless there is a basis of spiritual understanding, a spiritual value, all the rest is inconsequential, and indeed often disappoints and disillusions. I wish we could instill more into the hearts and minds of men the realities of life eternal, the realities of truth. If we can make them conscious of the fact how necessary it is to have balance, so few people in your world have what we call a balanced understanding, a balanced way of life. Everyone is struggling and fighting, and oftentimes selfishly concerned only with themselves and material possessions and material welfare. You cannot have true happiness unless you have a basis of spiritual truth, of spiritual knowledge, spiritual consciousness. These are important aspects of the whole, which so often are neglected or not considered essential or necessary. Of course, you have many individuals in your world who cling to their religious beliefs and religious faith, and that to some extent helps them. But then again, so much that they cling to, so much that they accept, doesn't really bear analysis, doesn't really fundamentally have the value that it should, because people misinterpret, misunderstand, put false values even on those which are fundamental facts, whether it is this religion or that. Fundamental truth is there, but so often misunderstood and misapplied. When man realizes that he is fundamentally a spiritual being in embryo, and that the physical body, the physical life, the material existence is merely, as it were, the cover of the book and not the book itself. So many people look upon the material life as the be-all and the end-all, the only thing that matters, the only thing that they understand and can appreciate or know. And so many people have this false value, false understanding of things. Man doesn't seem to appreciate or understand that his material life, important though it is merely, as it were, an episode. One, perhaps, of many episodes in time itself. And that man himself is, by his very nature, going through a testing time and going through a condition of experience that is essential to his own particular self. That is often why, of course, so much happens which often on the face of it seems unnecessary and distressing to the individual. Everyone must learn by experience. So many people want an easy life, a comfortable life, a life without worry, without anxiety, without unnecessary irritation. And yet, of course, if it were not often for these setbacks and disillusionments and disappointments, man would make very little progress. Of course, one can truthfully say also that man, through ignorance and foolishness over centuries of time, has created a world which is problematic, to say the least. In other words, man has created the very conditions under which he exists by wrong thinking and wrong living and transmitting from one generation to another false values, false ideas, false hopes. You are, as it were, in a sense, the product of previous generations of thought. Your world is essentially, in spite of what appears to be so materialistic and real world, is really in its essence a thought world. Man has created the very atmosphere and condition under which he lives, and in consequence he suffers by it. Until man can change his train of thought, until man can understand the true value of the spirit and realize that he is essentially by his very nature a spiritual being in embryo, and that he himself, by his own efforts and by the cooperation of mind and spirit, until he realizes that he can change the existing conditions under which he lives, until he can put into practice these things of the spirit which we teach, man will go blindly forward, making many mistakes, having many regrets, running, as it were, in the wrong direction after false things. I know that it is not easy for souls in your world, even with this truth and knowledge in their hearts and minds, always to think and to do the right thing. Indeed, the more you know of spiritual values and truth, in a sense, the more difficult it must be to live in a material world such as yours,
because so much is augmented in the sense that the very problems that you have to face are more difficult because you become more sensitized, more sensitive to the realities of life, and all around and about you seems in consequence even worse than perhaps it really is. But it doesn't alter the fact that until humanity realizes its great potential of power, has the realization of what it can do and what it can achieve, how it can overcome the worser self, the worser aspects of your material life. In other words, man has his own salvation in his own hands. There have been many messiahs, many teachers, many great souls who've come to set an example, to show the way, the path, and the truth. And of course they've had their followers, and there have been those who have gone forward to the bitter end, and invariably, as the world sees it, have suffered unnecessarily. But you see, there are varying conditions and forms of suffering. Man can suffer and achieve nothing, and man can suffer and achieve everything. It's not until you realize that the world of the spirit is the vital spark, the vital part that one should strive for. And the world of the spirit is not only outside you, but inside, as Christ himself said, that the power of the Holy Spirit is within. And once you realize its power and what you can do with it and by it and through it, then you begin to live anew. You are reborn indeed, as he said that one should be. And so it is that we who come repeat the same old story that Christ taught and all the great prophets and teachers taught. The fundamental truths of all the great teachers, that is what we come to bring into your world anew. But we know the difficulties of endeavoring to persuade individuals here and there to realize this fact. They will unfortunately quite often sidestep the real issue. It was not the intention of any of the great teachers or prophets to come into the world to found a religion or to found a society or an organization as such. They came into the world that they might, by their effort, by their way of life, by their example, make people conscious of themselves, their real selves, their true selves, their spiritual selves, and make them see and know and understand what could truly be achieved with the cooperative effort of mind, of body, and of spirit, the union, as it were. There's so much been talked about in the past, and so much has been misunderstood about the Trinity, about the power of the Holy Spirit upon man, and how God works with man and through man. Of course, so many people misinterpret and misunderstand the true meaning of God. So many must, I suppose, visualize God as a human being of a kind on a very high, elevated condition of life. Perhaps an old, kindly gentleman sitting on a great throne. But this is man's interpretation, and it goes back centuries upon centuries, and there are still those who no doubt visualize in that sense a God. But we want particularly for people to realize that God is a term or an expression, not a person. God is a power, a force, indeed the force of life behind all things. That there is no sort of personal God in the sense that some people would believe. That there is no shape or form. There is no aspect created, as it so often is in man's mind, of a personal being. God is something which we cannot put into words and expression, but we know and sense and feel, and we are part of. Man must always, it seems, create an image. And yet it is so often said that thou shalt not worship idols, thou shalt not build up, whether it is in mind or in a material sense, figuration, because this is all being brought, as it were, on a material level. You cannot have false gods, yet many worship false gods of their own creation. Ever since time immemorial, man has created some sort of an image. There's so many forms and shapes, and yet the very essence of God, the very essence of life, the very fundamental self, which is within all individuals, within all human beings, has no shape or form. You are given a shape, you are given a form. You develop over centuries of time many aspects of nature and character and personality. It is all evolution. We evolve slowly, surely, towards a goal which is set, and of yet we have little or no consciousness. This may sound, in a sense, strange and difficult to appreciate or understand, but we must remember that we are in eternity. Eternity is a term which no one can fully comprehend, and yet if you can look back in time itself, you will see the centuries piling one on top of the other. You will see the changes taking place in human life, in human society. You will see all manner of creeds and religions being brought into being, being formed, gaining great strength, and then over the centuries disappearing. And so it is that life must ever be movement, it must ever be going, as it were, in a rhythmic form. And though it has an expression, it at the same time, though limited, is not limitless. In other words, by this I wish to convey that there can never be any complete stillness. For if there were to become a stillness, there would cease to be an existence. In other words, life is movement. It is friction. You come into the world, man was created, or came slowly and gradually into form and into shape by friction. I do not want, and I cannot, in a scientific sense, that is, explain fully these things. But I do think it is vital to realize that man must go through many, 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 many changes. And that is what, in a sense, is eternity. There is no reaching a goal and staying there. For as you reach one goal, so another one stretches forth in front of you. In other words, man is all the time changing, aspiring, achieving, and then, as it were, going forward more and more towards higher realms of thought and experience. And therefore there is no end. There is always change or opportunity, new life to be experienced in some different form. Though you may retain your outer shape and be recognized, but nevertheless you will be within yourself a changing person, a changing personality, a changing character. You will be evolving towards a greater understanding and a greater realization of the purpose and the meaning of existence. There is no standing still. And in a sense, there is no going back. Though one may have the consciousness of past time and past experience and past lives, us. These are chapters, as it were, in a never-ending book of life and experience. Each and every soul is bound to the other. Though you may say you are separate individuals, and you have little or nothing in common, perhaps with this or that person, and indeed you may be revolted by the life and the experience as you know it of another individual, it cannot be avoided that whatever another person is, to some extent you are involved. It is the same spirit that flows through all humanity, whether you are of this race or that, or this creed or that, no matter what you believe or what you are, or what you may hope to become, you are still the same spirit, animating separately and yet, in a sense, collectively. You cannot escape from yourself, neither can you escape from others. You may, in your material life, shut yourself away, have little or nothing whatever to do with others, like so many do in your world who belong to religious orders. They withdraw from the world, and they only are concerned with the evolution or development of their spiritual selves, well-being. Their one concern is of the things of the spirit, and they neglect and forget the things of the earth. And yet, this is not the way. The only way to evolve spiritually is to be of the world. This may sound a paradox, but it's true. You cannot run away, you cannot escape, you cannot avoid issues. You must be with those things and face up to them, and to some extent part of them. But it is what you yourself contribute and bring to the situation, whatever it may be, or whatever aspect of life you may be called upon to serve. It is how you act and react, what you think and what you do that matters, what contribution you make to the good and the well-being of others, and forgetting yourself completely and absolutely in love and in service. It is the only way that man can hope to develop and to evolve and to truly become a spiritual being. You cannot escape your core.